Hi, we're the Chapman Birds Group here, ready for another podcast. It's a bit warm here, but we're going to soldier on, no problems at all. We have me, I'm Carolyn Corden, the president of Adelaide Plains Poets, and we have to my left...
Michelle, I'm an enthusiastic member.
Jeanette.
And Marilyn.
Okie dokie. News, we've had a wonderful poetry Sunday just recently. We had a workshop with Lindy Worrell, who taught us how to write poetry, and then we had a poetry reading in the afternoon, which was pretty damn wonderful too.
So who's Lindy Worrell?
Lindy Worrell, she's many things. She's a poet, psychologist, I believe, Buddha, wonderful person.
Okay.
Not Buddha, Buddhist. Buddhist.
She's not Buddha.
She's not that Buddhist, but she's not that
quite good. That amazing.
She's pretty amazing, but no, and she would never claim that either. She's a very humble and wonderful person.
Where is she from?
Oh, lives at Glenelg, and we had a new member there who hadn't been along to these things. It was her first writing workshop, which was pretty exciting.
Yes.
And she enjoyed it, and she's going to do another one. Yay, you.
So we'll move on to the poet or writer discussion.
Okay, so we're looking at...
Plot twists.
Books with a twist. When I heard that was what we meant to be doing, I thought, Agatha Christie, there's a twist there. But Gary Disher is a South Australian-born writer, and he writes really, really twisty, good, surprising crime fiction. Mm-hmm. Really in your blood and guts of it all. Mm. And I really like his work. So I brought along his book, which I could show him to the...
Showing
to the microphone.
Looks wonderful.
Bitter Wash Road is this book, and I just checked the final bit of it again because I hadn't actually read it for a long time ago. And yeah, he just really gets you go, oh, wow, really? Oh, yeah, of course. But gee, who thought that?
Yeah, and then you have to reread it.
Yeah.
And
you could highlight all that, go, oh, yeah, I know where that's going.
Yeah.
But there's so much there. And he's from South Australia, as I said. He lives in Victoria now.
Right.
But he does country very well because he lived in the country.
Looks like the Mallee, is it?
Yeah.
Mallee?
I'm not sure where it is.
Here's a look at the Mallee.
The plot twist that most impressed me was years ago when I read The Murder of Roger Ackroyd.
That one mentioned a lot.
Yes, that uses the technique of the unreliable narrator.
Oh, yeah.
I've read that one where you're sitting there and you suddenly read it again. You think, no, that can't be right.
Yes.
That can't be right. And it is. Yes. Yeah, fabulous. That's
one of the few ones I remember.
It is one that she wrote.
Books. Many of them were, but some of them she got it really bang.
Yes,
did it.
Apparently, when that one first came out, people were really annoyed. They felt like it was an unfair tactic.
Because you do put a lot of cred in your main character, and that's maybe not really a good idea.
Mm. Well, I guess you can only, as an author, you might use it once because it's not going to work the second time.
She did only use it the once too, I think.
Yeah, I think she did.
In the book, and then there were none. There's a character that you think is dead but isn't.
That's right. There are lots of different ways. I found a list.
Yeah.
Have you got one where a flashback reveals everything? Does anyone?
A couple of the Leanne Moriarty. One of the ones she wrote, Big Little Lies. You know the flashback.
Yeah.
Ian Banks, The Crow Road, through a flashback that you find out.
There's sudden reversal of fortune. There's unexpected introduction of character or event.
Dickens does a bit.
It needs to be sort of believable in the context of
it has what's some kind of before. Go. You have to be able to say, of course, that kind of thing, rather than, no, sorry, that's just not going
to
happen.
I guess you have to kind of go a bit like, with a lot of Agatha Christie, I guess I'm thinking of, where you go, why didn't I see that, as opposed to, well, you know, just chuck anyone in there sort of thing.
Well, that's the red herring. She's full of red herrings.
Yeah,
but a lot of good plot twists when it's revealed. And, in fact, just looking through the list, one that was mentioned was Emma, which I've been rewatching. It's really obvious, but you don't actually realise until the revelation at the end that this is the way things are. You're caught up with the character's misconception all the time of how things are. Yeah. So you miss the really obvious clues because it's not what you're expecting.
Poetic justice, the villain gets caught in his own trap.
Yeah.
That's satisfying.
Mm.
Chekhov's Gun is the name of this next one. These are interesting names.
Yeah.
Minor character gains importance.
Yeah. Chekhov's gun can refer to many things, like just something that you don't know. That's just done. Yeah, the thing is, if there's a gun on the wall, then it will be used. So it can be a minor character, or it can be an object, it can be many things. But yes,
it's almost mentioned in passing. But actually has... Yep.
You realise later it's significant.
If there's gun in the room, make sure, and you put any import at all on it, then make sure you use it.
Yeah, it will end up being important.
The false protagonist. I think that's one where you think they're trying to kill Michelle, but they're really trying to kill Carolyn.
Because who would kill Michelle, for heaven's sake? She's gorgeous.
Well, so are you.
I'm a bigger target than you are.
it's more of a
challenge.
It's more cred to get you. Me or Jeanette, either of us, and much more cred.
Another one is where you begin in the middle. I hate that.
Yeah.
I absolutely hate it where they go all over the place.
I do like certain stories that do that.
There are some. That happens a bit in spy stories where they go backwards and forwards or they...
I have one that begins at the end. And the story is about how he gets to that point.
Yeah.
So you find he's working on the roadside between Gawler and Adelaide as a council worker, but it's revealed at the end of the first chapter that he's actually a university professor. Then it goes through how he ends up.
Oh, yeah, I don't mind that. That can be interesting. Yeah, what's The River God by Richard Flanagan? Is it The River God? Oh, it's one of Richard Flanagan's books, and it's the guide is stuck in the river, the canoeing guide. I read it many, many moons ago, and he's going to die, and he goes back over his life sort of thing. But that's probably another twist.
So he's taking it for a ride.
Yeah.
Is it Marjorie Allingham? Some name like that. She writes stories, and she tells the whole story right up until the point where I kill you. And you think, wow, how's anybody going to work that out? Because it looks foolproof. And then in about two or three chapters, this famous detective comes in and solves it. And you think, well, how is he going to do that? It's a totally different...
Did it feel disappointing or...?
I didn't like it to start with, but I read a few of her novels and I didn't mind in the end. But there are some people who really do enjoy that kind of...
Working it out. You get the clue.
It's a little bit like a Columbo thing where you know what's happening, but how are they going to prove it?
Yep.
One is false narrative. And an example of that is Atonement by Ian McEwan, where you find out there's this unreliable narrator. So she's telling the story and then you reveal at the end, well, that's actually how I wanted it to be.
Oh, really?
And it's the most heartbreaking end. It's
like
I kind of knew that this was all too good to be true. Have a sense that how did they get through that phase in the story? How did this all wrap up so nicely? It's all too nice. And you have this sense of distrust that it's all too nice, and then at the end it's just like...
It was all too nice.
I'm thinking like The Life of Pi.
That was
mentioned in one of those. I've never read it. I've seen the movie or anything.
The Mountains of Portugal, which I picked up last year, his latest book, and I loved it. Life of Pi.
A friend of mine, when I was reading it, she said to me, like, you are going, it's just going to blow you away. I can't even explain it. And I was reading it and I was actually staying at her house that weekend and I knew she'd read it. I'd borrowed it and I kept going and kept going. And I got to the ending at about 1 o'clock in the morning, as you do when you're on holidays. And it was literally one of those, no way. And I thought, do I go and wake her up? And I thought, I don't think she'll be very thrilled if I come knock on her door. I've just got the bit. And
some people really hated the ending, the twist in that. A lot of people didn't like it at all. So I haven't, I've yet
to yes, I could see why, but I just thought it was really beautifully done. I just think he was really clever. But I guess in another book I'm thinking of, and I don't know if this fits entirely, but is Bridge to Terabithia.
Yeah, yes.
And that was another book. I read that in year 9. And I remember I was that kid that it didn't matter what novel you were given, I'd go home and read the whole thing, you know. And I had a beautiful English teacher, Mrs. Bristow, and she'd given us the novel to read. And I went home and read it, and I was up in the wee small hours reading it. Came to the twist in the plot where suddenly everything's been turned around because of this one event. I don't want to spoiler alert. I'd love people to read it. And it was probably about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I remember going and knocking on my mum's bedroom door in hysterics, and she was opening it, and I was just in tears going, "Mum, no," you know. And then the next one, she's like, "Oh, for goodness sakes." But the next morning in home group, the English teacher came to the door and called me over, and she said, I was worried about you all night because I knew you'd read the whole book. And I kept thinking, oh no, she's going to be very upset. So I guess that's why I always remember that one too, because it was probably my first real, I guess, where suddenly the book took a completely different road. When you think it's heading, it's not.
Rebecca's probably one of my favourite books with plot twist. Which it's inspired a little bit by the plot twist in Jane Eyre, because Rebecca was inspired by that. But yes, I love the plot twist at the end of that. And another one, talking of children's books, I had was Prisoner of Azkaban, which of course is a great plot twist.
Yes, actually, that's very true, isn't it?
And most of Dickens, there's plot twists right through. I found it really hard, actually, to think of books with plot twists. When
probably because I don't read a lot. I don't read detective fiction and nothing that relies.
I read so many that they all fade into one book.
You are our mum. She's had to swap genres because she's borrowed all the books in the Teacher Gully Library in her genre.
And there's quite a few books in the Teacher Gully Library. I was there the other day. I don't go just for the coffee and muffin.
I think it would be so difficult to write a plot twist because, like you were saying, Marilyn, you've actually got to make sure that there's all this credibility leading to the plot twist. It's not just this, oh, and now I've decided to do this. The Game of Thrones books, I think he's an excellent example of how it worked once and then he laboured the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think it would be incredibly difficult to write and give it credibility.
I don't use plot twists enough. I'd like to put more in, but I've run a book. That one I mentioned earlier does have plot twists in it. We'll go on for now to the writer's tip.
If you're looking for something to write, either go to Google or just look out the front window, the front door, and go, I wonder what that person there's doing. And that just wondering what somebody's doing can give you a whole new story.
Yes.
When I watch the birds, I'm thinking, gee, they've got a community happening there, haven't they?
Yeah.
Word of the day, what's the word of the day?
Mopple.
What?
Mopple.
Mopple?
It refers to a state of disorder, confusion, blunder or mistake.
Carolyn's life is a mopple.
Oh, that's been my mopple.
Week.
I had a staff meeting that was such a mopple that I was messaging Samuel through the day going, how could we manage if I only worked 3 days a week? Mopple. Oh, that's wonderful. I'm going to remember that.
I can think of some people I see online who in various social media places where mopple is...
I wonder who that would be.
I'm not going to say
what's going on in Canberra.
I wasn't going to say that, but you just read my mind beautifully, darling.
That was so hard to guess.
And look, government's meant to govern.
So when was it first used, do you know?
No, I don't. I wasn't able to
mopple.
Find that out. It sounds kind of 18th, 17th century. That's
a bit, yes.
And it can go to...
I'm going to make it my life's work to bring that word back. I use discombobulate a lot at work.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And everyone goes, oh, I love that word, discombobulate. And I often use that, but I like that, mopple.
Mopple's easy to say and cuter.
And you get the sense of it. It's the kind of word when someone says, oh, that was a bit of a mopple. You'd guess what it means.
Yes. Question time.
Do you think muddle?
Muddle, mopple.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And then you've got to mop up the evidence if you can, if you're quick enough.
It's not a murder.
Might be. You don't know, do you? Okay, we're going to read our own work, I can't because I didn't see.
I'll read the plot twist in this. You have to have read from the beginning to get the plot twist, but... So it's called Chapter 47, Marty's Truth, and this is towards the end of the book. Next morning he slept in. When he finally made it down to the kitchen, Marty was preparing to go out shopping. Your breakfast's on the table. Why don't you wait? You can go shopping in the car later. I must go now. I need things for lunch. Just wait till I've eaten then. I'll take you in the car. No, I'm going now. I need fish. The best fish is always gone by mid-morning. All right. I'll get coffee in the market then. Something flickered in her eyes. She grimaced as he picked up her market basket, filled with an empty cloth bag. She said nothing until they arrived, then suggested he get his coffee while she did the shopping. Curiosity piqued him, however, and combined with an abhorrence of being alone, he suddenly felt unlike coffee. He insisted on going with her. She marched on, clearly displeased. She went to a crowded stall renowned for a range of preserved meats and imported delicacies. An inevitable group of people jostled in a tight cluster waiting to be served. After a few minutes she emerged, the cloth bag swung on her shoulder. He noted by the inclination of her body that it was heavy and insisted on relieving her of it. My goodness! How many pepperonis did you buy? It must be enough to feed an army from the weight of this. They're heavy. If it's too heavy for you, give it back, she snapped. I do not mind the weight. I'm accustomed to it. She went to several other stalls to buy fruit and vegetables. The stall holders bowed obsequiously to her and pulled its specials out from under the counter. They all had something put aside for her. While Tom carried the bag, she filled the basket. She bought avocados, fat cobs of juicy corn, red tomatoes, brown onions, delicate green okra, smooth black eggplant, shining capsicums in diverse colours, red, green, yellow, leeks, bean sprouts, oranges, bananas, fresh green coconuts, juicy white apples. Do you always buy so much? Not always, as you make several trips, but as I have you to carry the bag, it saves time to buy it all. They walked back to the car parked several streets away. She stopped at a street store to pick up a chicken. One was hidden under the counter for her. She haggled over the price for some time. Finally, the chicken went into the bag, and Marty marched away wearing a triumphant grin. He always tries to overcharge me. He's a sly one, but he gets the best fowl. Marty, you forgot the fish. Oh, fish. She sounded surprisingly undisturbed by the realisation. I'll put this lot in the car. If you want to go back, I think none left now. You seem unconcerned, considering you were so intent on getting there early for fish. Oh, she shrugged. It was like a rifle retort in the brain, the flash of realisation, and then he wondered how he'd never suspected it before. It wasn't on account of the fish, was it, Marty? What is in this damn bag? It's not pepperonis, is it? She gave him a particularly hard, bright look. Mostly socks, actually, but there's probably a few bullets and gun parts. Socks, bullets, guns. They need the socks even more than the bullets. I just receive them and take them on. Who for? The gorillas. How long? Since Ernesto was killed. Hate was all I had left. Revenge was all I had to live for. You can have no concept what the loss of a child means. The bleakness and the anger and the pain. The loss of the last surviving child is so much worse. I had nothing. No one left at all. I'd lived and worked to support him so that he could go on to something better. When I lost him, there was nothing left. Just working 12 hours a day to stay alive. I had to fight back. Your money? This is what you spend it on? I've nothing else to do with it. The knitting? Yes. Mostly socks, but guns and bullets as well. I hope that for every jumper I knit, a soldier dies. The other women in the boulevard? It's our way of fighting back, of avenging our children. It's the only form of justice left to us. He pictured the boulevard, the old women knitting furiously in front of the soldiers, each a covert act of defiance, stitching their hatred into every garment. And wealthy Morvanians bought them blissfully unaware that they were attiring themselves in hatred and funding a revolution. Who was exploiting who? I've been made use of far more than I ever realised. I don't approve, of course, but I'm glad this is not a bag of pepperonis. Though I like pepperoni, I couldn't eat that much. I'd most likely die of heart disease if I attempted it. Still, those lies about your cooking were outrageous. Suddenly, she laughed. He grinned back. It was a good feeling. He put his spare arm round her shoulders and the stiff body yielded a little. They have a kind of mother-son relationship.
Yes. He finds out what she's doing and approves, of course. And
well, he doesn't approve.
Oh, no, but...
He understands, which is okay different to approving.
He's okay with it.
He doesn't approve, but he understands because he's learnt enough by the stage about the regime to...
Yes.
Okay, so. I've got something
from
something, maybe part a new memoir or something. I've just written some bits and pieces, and here's a bit about relationships. So I wrote, I have good and caring relationships with both family and friends. My husband of many years is supportive to me as I am to him as needed. Our son is a fine young man, sensible, intelligent and caring. He's respected in his various communities and I am immensely proud of him as he moves further into adulthood. My friends are mostly writing related companions, intelligent, varied in age, religious beliefs, life experiences and so on. Some of us meet every Thursday at a hotel in Gaul of the PA, where we write, listen to others, whatever they have written, and listen and talk about things. Some writing related, some not so much. But of course, everything in life and beyond is possible inspiration for writing.
I could read something. This is just a short piece that was prompted by the word lie. Two reception boys had been caught wrestling by the yard duty teacher and had been sent to the principal. We weren't wrestling, lied the five-year-old. If it looked like wrestling to Miss Williams, said the principal, then I think you were wrestling. I know it looked as if we were wrestling, but we were just loving each other to the ground.
That's gorgeous. Well, we'll finish. I thought listeners' challenge is Moreton Bay Figs.
Moreton Bay Figs. Wonderful, wonderful. Big, big, big trees. Giving much to many. Mm. Shade.
So we'll finish with that and get out of the heat. Go somewhere cooler.
I'll go to the shopping. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.